This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين إله العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having gathered us here once again. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to surround us with the malaika and to cause His mercy and His sakinah to descend upon us and to raise us with the anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam and those whom He has mentioned with them. Ameen. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are all good. And this is why even something that we may see as bad is not necessarily or is not in reality bad for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to His names. So for example, a person who is being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is bad for him. But this emanates and it comes from the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a good quality of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. When the human beings were on earth or are on earth, and the fact that some of them obey Him, they deserve His reward. And the ones who disobey Him are deserved of His punishment. Then this is from the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a good thing. But a human being may see this as bad. The one who is being punished may see it as bad. So we need to understand that وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. No evil, no bad is a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of His names are good, no matter what. When it comes to المتكبر, المتكبر, when we refer to a human being, هذا متكبر, this human being is proud, he is arrogant. That is the translation that we will give this name. Because when a human being is arrogant, then he makes himself bigger than others. And he puts himself on a pedestal that he does not deserve. So he puts himself high above and he thinks he is better than others. Yet when it comes to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bigger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater. In fact, He is the greatest. So when Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal is described as Al-Mutakabbir, then we will describe Him as the superior, the one who is the highest, most exalted, the one who has the best of names and qualities, because He is on that pedestal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all of creation. When Iblis, and he was the imam, the leader of those who were arrogant and proud. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him, and he says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the malaika that prostrate to Adam out of respect for him, then Iblis refused. Imagine all of the malaika made of nur in front of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. He is commanding them, prostrate to Adam. And Iblis stands up and defiant, no, I don't want. Who are you? Who are you? Who do you think you are to stand before the Rabb of the worlds and claim, I don't want to obey your command? What kind of arrogance must you have? What kind of jealousy must be in your heart for you to stand up at that moment? So he stands up and he says, I don't want. And he defies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is not al-mutakabbir. He is mutakabbir. He was arrogant. He was proud and he did not deserve that position whatsoever. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brought him into existence from nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who placed him amongst the malaika. In that beautiful environment, he had seen the malaika. He had seen a lot of what is unseen for us. So he knew it existed. He heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. And then he says, I don't want. So this arrogance he did not deserve. Whereas when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lahul kibriya, he has all of the superiority because he is the creator. Nobody brought him into existence. Nobody has any bounty over him. Nobody has done anything for him. Meaning nobody has placed a quality in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is of himself and belongs and is to himself. There is nothing and nobody that has placed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he is. So he deserves that position of التكبر. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. And I did not create mankind and jinnkind except for my worship. So the worst form of takabbur from a human being, the worst form of arrogance from a human being, will be when he refuses to do that which he was created for. And perhaps the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to go down into ruku' and into sujood is for us to acknowledge and display to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is al-mutakabbir. Why? Because we are placing the most honorable part of our bodies, which is our forehead, on the ground for Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. What is your forehead? When you look at it, it is protecting your brain, which you really feel is one of the best parts of your body, if not the best part of your body. Someone looks at his head, you know, this is why when you're riding on your motorcycle, you will put a helmet on. Why? Because you want to protect your head. That head is precious to you, right? Your face is precious to you. So the forehead, which is the most honorable part of a human being's body, which he sees as so, he places that on the ground, which is the lowest part. A person, if you naturally tell him, put your head on the ground, he'll say, are you mad? Why? But for Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, when you do this, then this is the highest of honors. Why? Because you are humbling yourself for Al-Mutakabbir. So, when a person refuses to do this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he refuses to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe in Him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا عَنْهَا. Indeed, those who have belied our signs and they were too arrogant to accept them. لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ. The doors of the heaven will not be open for them. وَلَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. And they will not enter into Jannah. حَتَّى يَلِجَ الْجَمَلُ فِي سَمِّ الْخِيَاطِ. Until a camel, have you seen a camel and how big it is? Until that camel gets into the needle hole. You know a needle, it has a little hole at the top. When the camel gets into that needle, that hole of the needle, then they will enter into Jannah. Meaning they will never enter into Jannah. So because they were placed in this world by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet they refuse and they defy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His command. So they are following Iblis in his example rather than following the beautiful example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-kabir. He is al-azim, al-jabbar, al-ghalib, al-nasir. So he has the right to place himself above all of creation. He has the right to be al-mutakabbir. The Pharaoh had no right. So the Pharaoh actually claimed that he was the one who was to be worshipped. وَاسْتَكْبَرَ هُوَ وَجُنُودُهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So he was arrogant on earth, him and his army. They tried to humiliate Banu Israel. They tried to destroy Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But ultimately, The entire command belonged with al-mutakabbir, and this came to light when Fir'aun and his people were drowned. They were drowned. So if he was ar-Rabb, then why did he not tell the waters, okay, you need to stop on the side. Don't drown me. Because he had no takabbur, he had no superiority in reality. All superiority belonged to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira was a man at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was from amongst the leaders of Quraysh. So he once visited Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he says, what is it that this Quran is? So he heard the Quran. And he came back to his people and said, you know this Quran? It is not a poetry. It is not magic. And it is not the incantations of a madman. You know, when a madman speaks, then sometimes he just bumbles and he says all sorts of things. So he says, this is not the speech of a madman. Because Quraysh would call Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sha'irun majnoon or sahirun majnoon. They would say he is a magician and he is mad. So this man, who was a leader of Quraysh, comes back and he says, it is not this, I have heard it. Indeed, it is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Abu Jahl heard this, he became angry and he said, no, let me go to him and talk to him. So he went to Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira and he talks to him and he says, look, how can you do this? If you do this, then all of Quraysh are going to accept Islam. So he says, no, I was just joking when I said that. I don't really believe that it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the arrogance. When you know and you have heard and you have acknowledged that that is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is in your mother tongue, you've heard poetry, you've seen magic, and then you hear the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you realize what it is in your heart, and then you choose to defy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because of the people, I want to please them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses, ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. Leave me alone with the one who I created. He, Al-Walid, thinks that he is very mighty and powerful, superior. He can defy my command. Leave me to him. Imagine when this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking. He says, leave me with him. What kind of punishment did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plan for such a human being? ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا وَجَعَلْتُ لَهُ مَالًا مَمْدُودًا وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا. And I gave him so much wealth, and I gave him children that were with him. Those children had not left him, gone away and discarded him. They were with him. وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا وَمَهَدْتُ لَهُ تَمْهِيدًا. And I prepared everything for him. ثُمَّ يَطْمَعُ أَنْ أَزِيدُ. Then he wants me to give him more. After all of this kibr, after all of this arrogance, he still wishes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him more. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kalla innahu kana li ayatina anida. Most definitely not. He was most arrogant and he turned away and stubborn with the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will not give him anything. كلا إنه كان لآياتنا عنيدا سأرهقه صعودا. I will place him on a rock that is very slippery in Jahannam. This person, imagine, you know, when you climb onto a rock that is slippery, you fall down again, and then you climb up again, and you fall down again. So he will be placed on the slippery rock in Jahannam. And imagine, from all the people in the dunya that exists, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to describe the punishment that belongs to this man. Why? Because he had arrogance in his heart. After knowing the truth, he rejected it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humble us and to make us human beings who acknowledge him and to grant us the ability to worship him in the manner that he wants to be worshipped. Ash-Shafi. Ash-Shafi is the curer. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he once had a man who came to him. And he said, look, I am complaining from such and such an ailment. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahumma rabban nas, adhhibil ba'sa, washfihi anta shafi. O Allah, Rabb of the people, let this calamity go away and cure him, you are the curer. لا شفاء إلا شفاءك. There is no شفاء except for your شفاء. And in one narration, لا سقم إلا سقمك. And there is no ailment except for your ailment. فاشفيه شفاء لا يغادر سقما. So grant him shifa that encompasses all of the illness. There is no illness that is left behind except that you cure this man. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام, from amongst the things that he mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does for him, and as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves his worship, he says, when I am sick and I am ill, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures me. So why should I not turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Remember the context that this was happening in. These people turned to all these statues, these idols. In fact, from amongst them was his father who worshipped the idols. And they believed that these idols cured them, these idols brought them harm, these idols brought them benefit, these idols did so much for them. Yet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ, even when I am sick, فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ, so he is the one who will cure me. So there is no shifa except for the shifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meaning of this name, the one who from cure is, and the cure of the chests in the cure of the chests from any doubts, it lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the cure of the body from illnesses, so all of the cure belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have an illness in your chest. And what does this mean? In your heart you have some form of doubt, some form of bad thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shifa of that lies with Ash-Shafi. So turn to him and ask him to remove that doubt. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith that shaitan comes to one of you and he says, man khalaqa al-arda, who created the earth? So you say, Allah. And then he says, man khalaqa al-jibala, who created the mountains? So you say, Allah. Then he says, man khalaqa al-anhara, who created the rivers? So you say, Allah. Then he says, man khalaqa Allah, who created Allah? So then you stand back and you are shocked all of a sudden. He placed a doubt in your mind. He placed a doubt in your heart. What do you do when that happens? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let him seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let him cut off that thought right there. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaytan, the accursed and the condemned. Why? Because you are seeking refuge in Ash-Shafi, the one who has the shifa of the ailment that is in your heart, that was placed there, that was whispered in there by shaitan. So you seek shifa from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously there are so many theories, or not theories, but realities that destroy this theory altogether, that who created Allah, because obviously there has to be a beginning, and that beginning is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shaitan is khabith, and he will come to you with these doubts, try and place them in your heart. But always remember, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, wa imma yanzaghannaka minash shaitani nazghun fasta'idh billah. When shaitan pokes you with some thought, some whispers, fasta'idh billah, then seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let that person cut off that thought right there. Don't let it go further, because shaitan wants you to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then at the end of the day, when he is standing before Rabbul Izzah, what does he do? He will tell you, كَمَثَّلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ كفر. When shaitan says that, disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ, so when the human being disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكُمْ, he says, I am free of what you have done. Yet you are the one who told me to do this. How can you say you are free of this? Imagine a friend of yours who comes and tells you that let us go and steal from this man. So you go, you steal, you come back home, you've got all of this. And then when you get caught, hey, no, I didn't tell you to do anything. No. You did it all on your own. But you are the one who came up with the idea in the first place. This is shaitan for you. And this is what he wants from you. He wants you to disbelieve. So cut off that thought when you get these evil and bad thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you his shifa such that he will cure your chest. So when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he once came to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then he says, "Atashtaki? Are you complaining of something? Is there something wrong?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Yes, there is an ailment that has afflicted me." So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he begins to recite certain words. And he says, "Bismillahi arqika, in the name of Allah, I give ruqya for you. I pronounce these words upon you. Min kulli shay'in yu'dhika, from anything evil that is harming you. Min sharri kulli nafsin aw aynin hasidin, from the evil of any soul and from the evil of the jealous eye." And then he says, "Allahu yashfika bismillahi arqika, Allah will cure you. I seek refuge, or I say with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ruqyah, this incantation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him down with." So in this hadith, you can see he says, "Allahu yashfika." Allah is the one who cures you. Sometimes we find ourselves going to the doctor, and there is nothing wrong with going to the doctor to find some treatment for your ailment and your problem. So you go to the doctor and you get that treatment, but you tend to forget that Ash-Shafi is the one who will cure you. So you rely on that doctor for the cure. Yet cure comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only a treatment. And the reality of this comes to light when you see a person in a hospital bed. He has millions, billions of dollars. He has so much of money, and he spends it to get whatever cure he can. Perhaps it is cancer, perhaps it is AIDS, perhaps it is something. Any ailment that he has, he's trying to get the cure. And he's spending billions of dollars to get that cure. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed death for him through that ailment. So he dies. What happened to all the treatment of the doctors? What happened to all the skill of the surgeons? It all went down, gone, useless. Why? Because that is only a means of you to reach the cure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you understand this, then no matter what happens, you will always trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure you, no matter what happens. A small example is when we have a headache sometimes. You have a headache, you are complaining of this pain that is in your head, and you take one tablet. This headache doesn't go away. You take another tablet, the headache doesn't go away. You take a third tablet, it doesn't go away. What happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to make that treatment useless. So it is useless. It did not benefit you in any way, because he is Ash-Shafi. But at the same time, there is nothing wrong with going to the doctor. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even told some of the companions that do this and do that, then the shifa will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a sahabi who came and complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "I have some ailment in my stomach. I'm suffering from a stomach illness." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Go back and drink some honey." So he went back and he drank some honey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose not to cure him. So he came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, that honey did not help. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Go back and drink the honey again." So he went back and he drank the honey again. And again he came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "I'm still suffering from this illness." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Go back and drink the honey, because your stomach has lied and the honey is truthful. Who is the creator of that honey that will grant the cure? It is Ash-Shafi." So when we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who grants cure through no matter what it is that we have taken, then we will get that shifa from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should never begin to place our trust and our hope in the actual means, but rather in the one who brought about that means, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third name for today, inshallah, will be As-Sittir. As-Sittir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who covers and He hides the faults of the human beings. So, a man was once bathing naked. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, biduni izar, he had nothing covering even his bottom part. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told this ashab, radiyallahu anhum, he told the companions, radiyallahu anhum, inna allaha hayyun sittirun yuhibbul hayaa. Indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bashful, He is shy, yuhibbul hayaa, He loves the shyness. فَإِذَا اغْتَسَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْتَتِرْ So when one of you takes a bath, then let him place a barrier between him and the people. Let him cover up so that the people do not see him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِيَسْتَأْذِنْكُمُ الَّذِينَ مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَبْلُغُ الْحُلُمَ مِنْكُمْ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ Those who are in your care, the servants from amongst you, or those slaves that you have, let them seek permission from you, and those who have not reached puberty, let them seek permission from you at three times. مِنْ بَعْدِ صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ After the salah of al-fajr, وَمِنْ بَعْدِ صَلَاةِ الظُّهْرِ And after the salah of dhuhr, وَمِنْ بَعْدِ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَاء And after the salah of al-isha. So, at these three times, you find that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would go to sleep, perhaps take a nap, and they would not cover themselves. There was no cover between them and the next room. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to take this cover, because perhaps a person will walk in at a time that is not appropriate. Perhaps one of his servants may walk in at a time that is not right for him to walk into the room. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to have that sitr, that covering between them and the people. In order to practice upon this quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a sitr, the covering in a very humanly way. So sometimes we begin to think, but how can I practice on the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But you can practice upon these qualities in this manner. This is just one example, but if you look into it, you will come to realize that you can actually practice upon them in a very humanly way, because you are a human being. The meaning of this name, he who covers his servants a lot and he does not expose them. The servant should cover himself, because even though he so desperately needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he may sometimes sin to the extent that he uses the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the hands and the legs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes you find that a human being, yes, he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, he acknowledges the last day, but he commits a sin. When you commit that sin, then cover yourself, hide away from the eyes of the people. Why? Because when you go out to the people and you show the people what you are doing, it is as though you are saying, I don't care about the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the cigarette that I am smoking. Let me smoke. So what? So what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despises that. Do you not have the shame enough to say, let me do it where the people do not see me? At least have that much shame. So when you have that shame, and I mention this because it is very common and prevalent. You know, you see people lighting up. It's okay, it doesn't matter. Light up in the street, light up in the restaurant, light up where other people are, it doesn't matter. Why? Why did you do that? Did you not realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to cover? Are you proud of the fact that you smoke? Get rid of this habit. And if you cannot get rid of it, at least hide away. Go into the toilet. Smoke it in that toilet. Find a place that is suitable for you to do that. And there is no place suitable for it. But cover yourself. Hide away from the people. Why? So that at least you had that much of respect for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts the tawbah from His servants. So no matter what you have done in the past, even though you may have been quite open with your sins, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will forgive you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Kullu ummati mu'afa." All of my ummah are forgiven. Illa al-mujahirin. Except for those who go out and are open with their sins. Wa inna min al-mujaharati. And indeed from mujahara and opening up with a sin, an ya'mala ar-rajulu bil-layli 'amalan, that a man does a deed at night. Thumma yabitu wa yasturuhu rabbuhu. Then he spends the night and his Rabb is covering. فَيُصْبِحُ وَيَكْشِفُ سِتْرَ اللَّهِ عَنْهُ. Then he wakes up and he removes, snatches the cover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from him. You have committed all sorts of evil deeds at night. Perhaps you met up with a woman. Perhaps you did some haram with her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered you. You were doing that haram with the cover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you wake up in the morning and you say, I slept with such and such a woman. I did such and such a bad deed. How dare you do that? Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who covered you. And wallahi, this is an afa. This is a problem of our time. You find people going out on Facebook. You know, I was with this person taking pictures. I was with this haram company. Why? 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 Are you proud of the fact that you met such and such a celebrity who is known for the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who are you? Who are you? Understand who you are. And understand who your Rabb is. And when He has covered you, then cover yourself. And the person who covers himself, wallahi, he has hope on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that a servant will come on the day of Qiyamah, فَيَدْنُوا مِن رَبِّهِ. So he will come close to his Rabb. ثُمَّ يَضَعُ اللَّهُ كَنَفَهُ عَلَيْهِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place His covering over him. Imagine this is you. Think about it as yourself for a moment. فَيُقَرِّرُهُ بِذُنُوبِهِ أَلَمْ تَفْعَلْ كَذَا وَكَذَا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him that did you not do this and that sin? So the servant will say, بَلَا يَا رَبِّي. Most definitely I acknowledge I have done it. And then he will say, أَلَمْ تَفْعَلْ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Did you not do this and that sin? And mention some other sins that he has done. So he will say, Bala ya Rabbi, most definitely I have done it. I acknowledge to you, O Allah, there was no cover between me and you. But I covered myself in the dunya. Meaning that will be the situation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, قَدْ سَتَرْتُهَا لَكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَهَا أَنَا أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ. I protected you and I covered you from the people in the dunya. And here I am forgiving you today. This is a man who would have met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with those sins. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive him based on the fact that he covered away and he covered up from the eyes of the people. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once addressing the companions, then he says, يَا مَعْشَرَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِلِسَانِهِ وَلَمْ يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. O general populace of people who have believed, who have believed with his tongue, with their tongues, and iman has not entered into their hearts yet. لا تغتابوا المسلمين. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that they have believed with their tongues yet iman had not entered into their hearts? Perhaps these were people that were engaging in ghiba. So this is a weakness of iman. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying that have that iman that you say on your tongue, have it in your heart as well. And don't backbite the people. لَا تَغْتَابُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا عَوْرَاتَهُمْ. And don't follow their awrat, that which they have hidden away from the people of their sins. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ عَوْرَاتِهِمْ يَتَّبِعُ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ. So indeed the one who follows the awrat, the coverings of the people of sins that they have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up His coverings. وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعُ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ يَفْضَحُهُ وَلَوْ فِي بَيْتِهِ. And the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes for the people to see, He will expose him even though he may be in his home. So a person takes cover in his home and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes him. Why? Why? Because you went and followed the bad and the sin of your brother. Hey, that man does this. Hey, that woman does that. Hey, these people are engaged in this. So let me go and find out what they are doing. And let me then go and expose them. You are not required to expose them. Rather, you are required to cover them and hold that cover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over them. So in the same manner that you want to be covered for your sins, then cover your believing brother, cover your believing sister, cover that believing group of believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا فِي الدُّنْيَا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the one who covers a mu'min, a believer in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover him in the akhirah. So never go out and speak bad about the people, because no matter how much bad you speak about them, you also have some bad. You also have some evil. And there is no evil quality that you will speak about another man in a bad way, talking about him, making ghibah of him, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you with that. So you will find that that sin will be put before you, and perhaps you will engage in it. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching you a lesson. You think you are so clever that you can talk about other people's sins? No, that you are also insan. You can also be exposed. So try always to cover the people when they do their sins. When someone has done something wrong, don't go out and tell the people, you know, such and such a person, he engages in such and such a sin. And remind yourself that you are also weak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. It is indeed the end of the series. We have come to the final chapter in the series. But remember, it is not the final chapter in the names and the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the names and the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are so many. In fact, we don't even know how many they are. So it is for us to go back and to find out as many names as we can. And to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, using these names, to bear these names and qualities in our mind when we perform our salah, when we are giving our zakah, when we are reciting the Quran, when we give a sadaqah, we bear these names in our mind in order to have a complete iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and complete faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to complete our faith, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the belief in Him as He wants us to believe in Him. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.